Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
97.1 FM Talk. On-demand audio.
Zach Smith, welcome aboard. How are you, partner?
I'm doing okay. Thank you so much for having me on.
So, you know, so much trial and tribulation to get Justice Kavanaugh and Justice Amy Coney Barrett confirmed in the United States Senate. So many alarm sounds from the left that this was going to be the end of civilization as we know it, and the court's going to become this radical element. We're not seeing that right now.
No, we're absolutely not seeing that. You know, during Amy Coney Barrett's confirmation hearings, we heard that her confirmation would all but guarantee the end to Obamacare, the end to, you know, abortion rights for women as they know it. And so far, that has not played out. You know, from a practical political point, I think that's good for conservatives because it showed that a lot of what was said and what was happening during the confirmation was just, you know, attempts to inflame their base on the Democratic side. On a slightly more hesitant note for conservatives, you know, we've been seeing good results coming out of the court for the most part over the past several weeks. But unfortunately, some of those decisions, including the Obamacare decision, including the Fulton v. City of Philadelphia decision, mm-hmm. which involved the free exercise rights of Catholic social services, those didn't go quite as far as I would have liked them to have gone, and I'm sure as you know, many other conservatives would have liked it as well. So, look, bottom line, we're in a much better place than if we did not have Justices Gorsuch, Kavanaugh, and Barrett on the court. But, you know, we haven't seen quite the rib-rocked conservative decisions that I think many of us would like to have seen.
Yeah, you know, Sam Alito's been a rock star on all of these decisions.
100%.
He's really kind of taken that, you know, you don't want to compare him to Scalia, but the kind of Scalia type, and his opinions are entertaining to read as well. He's really been a rock star.
100%. You know, Justice Clarence Thomas gets a lot of praise, and rightly so. But I think, you know, for my money, the most underappreciated justice on the court right now is Justice Alito. He has been absolutely solid and, in my view, correct on many of the religious liberty cases that have come before the court. He was correct in many of the, you know, COVID-related cases that have come before the court this past year. And for anyone that has not read his concurrence in the Fulton v. City of Philadelphia case, I encourage you, go read it. It's lengthy. It's a heavy reading. You know, it's not light reading material. But he does a great job explaining his views. He does a great job laying out why he thinks the majority in that case did not go far enough. And at the end of the day, you know, I'm hopeful when the court, you know, inevitably revisits this issue again in the future, that the justices at that time will realize that Sam Alito was right on the money in his concurrence.
Yeah, he's the real deal. Zach Smith is our guest. He's a legal fellow at the Heritage Foundation, expert on the Supreme Court. On the Affordable Care Act, on Obamacare, the court really was a narrow rule. And as I understand it, correct me if I'm wrong, but as I understand it, they basically argued, the majority argued, that because the penalties were removed from the mandate, and so there was no harm, according to the majority, that there was no standing to take up the case. Is that in some what they said?
More or less. It's a very convoluted opinion. 7-2 is written by Justice Stephen Breyer. And again, it was Justice Alito with Justice Gorsuch in the dissent in this case. But essentially, the court in this Obamacare case, they didn't reach the merits of the case. They didn't address the constitutionality of the individual mandate or of Obamacare as a whole. They basically said that these parties were not the appropriate ones to be bringing this lawsuit and that they didn't have standing. They didn't have the ability to bring this suit in federal court. And so, unfortunately, it's essentially sending the case back to the drawing board where someone, will try to find someone who does have standing, who is the appropriate party to bring this case. And, even though it seems like this Obamacare saga is never ending at this point, I don't think we've seen the last of it. We'll likely see, future challenges being brought.
I think it's safe to say that for a lot of conservatives, Chief Justice John Roberts has been something of a disappointment. He's proven himself to be a real institutionalist on the court and kind of a minimalist in the sense that he doesn't want seemingly to go so far. And that Fulton case v. Philadelphia is a really quintessential example of that. The court could have made a sweeping religious liberty decision, and they instead very narrowly drew their opinion. Explain that to us.
Yeah, they did. So look, the outcome in this case was a phenomenal outcome, and it was unanimous. The city of Philadelphia violated the free exercise rights of Catholic social services. Basically, Philadelphia said, we're not going to allow Catholic social services to, function in a foster care or adoption placement capacity because they won't place children with same-sex couples, because obviously that violates the core tenets of their faith. Now, I think it's worth noting here that Catholic social services, although they themselves would not place children with same-sex couples, which, by the way, no same-sex couple had ever come to Catholic social services and asked for a placement through them, but Catholic Charities had a policy in place that what they would do is simply refer those couples to a different organization who would place the child. But the way the court resolved this case, they reached the right outcome, but they basically dodged the bigger question, the question that Justice Alito wrote at length about that he would have resolved favorably to Catholic social services. And it's basically this: it's how closely will courts scrutinize government actions that restrict or infringe on the free exercise rights of citizens? And so the way the court resolved this case, a very deferential standard is still left in place. Basically, as long as the law is generally applicable, that's not targeting religion or religious activities and treating them differently, the courts really won't take a close look at that. Justice Alito said, look, that's wrong. Anytime the government seeks to substantially burden someone's free exercise rights, they better have a very compelling reason for doing it, and they should seek to achieve their goals in the least restrictive way possible. And if they don't, the courts should strike down that law or that action. And so I think we'll see this same debate coming back to the court again. We may even see it with these same parties, Catholic Social Services and the City of Philadelphia. And so I don't think this is the last word we've heard on this case. But again, I think Justice Alito had the better of the argument in this case.
Hey, before I let you go, Zach Smith, the legal fellow at the Heritage Foundation, there's an abortion case just around the corner that the court's going to deal with. Kind of frame that up for us, and what do you expect to happen?
Yeah, this is a huge case. It's Dobbs v. Jackson. It's out of Mississippi. Basically, individuals are challenging some of the abortion-related restrictions, abortion-related protections that Mississippi has put in place. And so a lot of legal commentators think this may be the case where the court begins to reevaluate Roe v. Wade, Planned Parenthood v. Casey, and really, walk back a lot of their abortion-related jurisprudence. So this case is a huge one. It has a lot of interest on both the pro-choice and pro-life sides of the aisle. And, it's one I really encourage everyone to pay attention to as the court considers it next term.
Supreme Court, I love following it. It's always fascinating. You are always fascinating, Zach Smith. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll catch you again on 97.1.
Sounds great. Thanks so much for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Get more at 97.1talk.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.